Now this morning is an all-age service. And in our all-age services at the moment, we are answering questions that the children who attend here regularly have asked. And it means that on all-age, those in reception are upwards, stay in a little while, I'll send out those in creation and first words. But we're going to be looking today at a question that Jaden asks. And it is a great question. He asks this question. How is Jesus God and a man at the same time? Thanks, Jim. How is Jesus God and a man at the same time? It's a brilliant question. It's another brilliant question. We've had such good questions from the children of this church over the last few months. We've been tackling the Trinity, we've been tackling creation, we've been tackling God's Word. So it's good for us to think about these issues. And this morning we're going to think about that question of how is Jesus God and man at the same time. We're going to think about it all the way through the service. We're going to center the whole service around that question. And so we're going to begin right now beginning to think about what that question, the answer to that question is. Now I have to say, right at the beginning, as we start to think about this very big issue, is that look, these are complex things. And just as when we talked about the Trinity, we're talking about God, we're talking about His nature, we're talking about who He is, and we're talking about hugely complex things. And the truth is, our minds cannot fully grasp all there is to know about God and how He really is, both Jesus really is both God and man at the same time. It should surprise us, there are many things in this world that we'll never fully understand. We're never going to understand time, or memory, or electricity, or infinity, or big mathematical sums, or how England can never win the first game in a tournament. You know, there are things that are just complex. How much more so than when it comes to God? And of course, if I could understand all there is to know about God, then I would be God. So we just need to keep this in mind as we think about these issues this morning. We can't know and understand everything. What we can to see what the Bible says to be true and believe. Even if I can't fully grasp or understand it all, I see what the Bible says and it's true, I'm to believe it. And so as we begin to unpack this question, there are certain truths that we need to state and affirm and say this is what the Bible teaches and it'll help us to build an answer to this question. Okay, so here is the first big truth that we need to just affirm and state as we think about the answer to this question. And here it is. It's the first big truth. Jesus is fully God. First big truth. Jesus is fully God. Now over the centuries, many have talked and sought to deny this truth. But the Bible clearly teaches Jesus is fully God. Now, I don't know, any children, tell me where you might go in the Bible to think or go to a place of passage in the Bible which shows that Jesus is God. You might be thinking back to our Trinity talk a few months ago. Anyone think of a passage? Adults, I'm going to whisper to your children if you can think of one. Yeah, yeah. Excellent. John 1, 1 to 4. That's exactly. Joe, you should just reread my notes. That's initiative. John 1, 1 to 4, that clearly affirms that Jesus is God. So we read John 1, 1 to 4, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was the life, and that life was the life of all men. And then John makes it clear in John 1, 13 to 18 that this Word is Jesus. Jesus was with God. Jesus was God. And there are other places in the Bible you go. John 20, 28, when Thomas sees the resurrected Jesus, he says, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus doesn't rebuke him. He accepts that he is God. And Thomas is right. We could go to Hebrews 1. What we read, Jesus is the exact representation of God. He's exactly like God. Or Isaiah 9, verse 6. Prophecy written hundreds of years before Jesus was born, predicting His birth, and in the passage speaks of this child being born as Mighty God. Jesus is fully God. And of course we see here Jesus doing the things that only God can do. So Jesus heals the sick in Mark 1:32. He stops the wind, he calms the storms in Mark 4:35-41. He casts out demons in Mark 5:1-20. He raises the dead, Mark 5:21-43. He does only what God can do. Jesus is fully God. That's the first big truth of his parents' words. And we're going to stop and we're going to thank him that that is the case. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is fully God. We thank you that in him all things were made. Thank you that in him was life, and he was the life of all men. Thank you that Jesus is clearly revealed to us as God. Thank you he showed that when he walked on earth, that he did the things that only God can do, that he healed the sick, that he had authority over demons, that he raised the dead. And thank you that now he still does those things as the one who made and has ruled over creation. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first big truth that we see this morning is Jesus is fully God. Now we need to see that Jesus is
fully man. And without looking at the sheets, can you think of any passages where we see that Jesus is fully man? How do we see that Jesus is fully man? Very good, yes. Luke 1:31. What is that verse? Oh, okay. I'll let you off. Anyone else? So Luke 1:31 is where Jesus was born of a human mum. So we see that the Bible clearly teaches Jesus was fully man. So not only did he have a human mum, he had a human body and mind. He grew and developed like any child, growing in wisdom. Jesus got hungry, Matthew 4, verse 2. Jesus was thirsty, John 4, 7. Jesus grew tired and needed sleep, Luke 8:23. He experienced human emotions, so he was troubled and upset, John 12:27. And he was sad at his friend's death in John 11:35. Jesus is like us in every aspect of our humanity. In all the boring, glorious, bodily functions of the human existence, he's like us. He had all the weaknesses and desires that make us human. He was tempted in every respect as we are. Jesus is fully man, fully human, just like us. In other words, he understands us. He knows what it's like to be us, so that when the Bible says he prays for us sympathetically, Hebrews, it's because he knows us. He can say, I've been there. I know how you feel. I know what it's like. And actually mean it because he did, because he was fully human, fully man like us. The difference is that Jesus was without sin. He never sinned. He never disobeyed his Father in heaven. He never did that which was wrong. He never spoke an unkind word. He never just pushed someone over for the fun of it. He never sinned. But he was just like us. He understands us. So we're going to stop and praise him for that. And we'll see why it's so important that he is fully man in order to rescue us in just a minute. But let's just thank him that he is just like us, fully human. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is just like us. Thank you that Jesus came to earth to live as one of us. That he knew exactly how we feel. He knew what it was to have a human body. He knew what it was to live as a human. He knew what it was to feel sad, to feel all alone. He knew what it was like to feel troubled, to feel happy. He knew what it was to be hungry and thirsty. He knew the weaknesses of a body and its limitations. Thank you that he willingly, lovingly came to earth to be like us, that he might rescue us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So what are the two truths that we've stated so far? First one was Jesus fully God. Second one was brilliant. Now that was the easy part. Now we're going to really have to engage our brains, switch them on and really think. Because now we're going to begin to try and unpack how is it that Jesus can be both God and man at the same time. And the next big truth that we need to state is this. Two natures, one person. Two natures, one person. Now we need to just understand what we mean by natures and persons. When we're talking about a person, we're talking of them in the whole. So Mark Ventham, the person, describes all I am. Husband, father, follower of Jesus, describes all I am, the person, Mark Ventham. And my nature is that I'm human. I know some of you are thinking, maybe, maybe not. But I am, actually, I'm not alien. I'm not an animal. I'm human. That's my nature. The person, Mark Ventham, describes all that I am, all that I do. My nature is human. Now, here's a picture. This is Max the dog, our dog. He's a dog, not a person. And his nature is what? Animal. Nature is animal. He's an animal. Therefore, Max the dog describes who he is, what he does. His nature is animal. So he behaves like an animal, not a human. Okay? With it. Now, when it comes to Jesus, we speak of Jesus the person, the one person, Jesus the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And we can speak of Jesus the person and all that he did as it's recorded for us in the Bible. That's Jesus the person. And then we speak of his natures. He's one person, but he has two natures. And his natures are that of God, divine, and that of human. Divine nature and a human nature, but one person. So he's fully God, he's fully human, that's his natures, but he's one person. Now, there have been three big errors in the life of the church, not this church, the church of all time, where they've sought to teach this, try to understand this, and in doing so, they've taught it wrongly. Need to do anything? Okay, I'm about to go down there. So, here's the three errors. We're going to see if we can do this with some examples from my special bag out here. Here's my bottles. Sorry about the bottles. This is all that Poundland had. Home is where the heart is. Very nice. Now, here we go. We're going to think of the bottle here as the person. Okay, this is the person, and we're going to think of it as the person of Jesus. And we're going to think of olive oil here as divine nature, and water here as human nature. And just to complicate things, because it doesn't work otherwise, we're going to think of salt as also divine nature, and we're going to think of those things the same thing. Okay, does that make sense? You'll understand why in a minute. Now, here's the first error that was taught. It was taught by a man called Apollinaris. And he thought, well, look, here's the person Jesus. And he thought, to himself, what actually happened was that Jesus had the body that was human, but inside, his nature, his mind, his spirit, that was divine. So he thought of Jesus as, now whether I can do this without shaking too much and getting it all wrong. Okay. Here we go. Doesn't pour fast. Okay, so this is how he thought of Jesus. It was Jesus, the person, and the body, the glass, was human, but the inside, the spirit, the mind, was just a divine nature. Now, what's wrong with that? Everyone's looking. It's a bottle. It's okay. What's wrong with that? Why is that wrong? He's got two natures, that's right. It wasn't that. Now, with this, is he like us in this way? Is he fully human in this way, just with a body? No, he's not, because he doesn't have a nature like us. He doesn't have a mind like us or a spirit like us in this. He just has God's spirit and God's mind, but with a kind of fleshy body. He's not fully human in that sense, because there's no human nature. It's just, in the sense, divine nature with an outer shell which is human. And so the church said, no, that's wrong, because Jesus is one person. How many natures? Two natures, right. So another bloke came along, Nestorius, and he thought of it a bit like this. He thought, well, let's use this one. Here we have the person of Jesus, and he is divine. That's his person. The person of Jesus is divine. His is divine nature. But then he thought, well, hold on a second. Jesus must have another person, which is human. Ooh. Shaky hand syndrome. Okay, so here we have now. He thought, Nestorius thought, two persons with two natures. That sounds right. Two persons, but they're kind of. He saw it as like another man sharing kind of a flat, like a roommate together, two persons together, or Siamese twins. You know Siamese twins? They have a body, but they have two heads, and they share a body, but they're two really distinct persons who think differently and do differently and can argue. And he kind of saw it as like, here's Jesus, the divine, here's Jesus, the human, and they're kind of two persons together. And you can see that, can't you? Here's Mark Ventham, one person, here's another Mark Ventham, but slightly different. And they're kind of, no, that's not right. Why is that not right? There's two persons, is that right? He's exactly, he's only one person. So he's got the natures, right? Two natures, but he thought it was two persons. No, there's only one person. Otherwise you'd have conflicts, these kind of two things doing their own thing, but they're kind of united in some way. No, that's not what's happening. And then you've got a bloke called Eutyches, and he thought to himself, like, I've got this. He thought it's a bit like this. You've got the person, Jesus, you've got the human nature, then what happens? You take a bit of divine nature, and this time we're using salt as the divine nature. You pour it in, shaky hand syndrome. And he thought, oh, you kind of mix it together. You know, you have a little bit of mix. And now, well, you've got his two natures, and you've got the person, but what's wrong with that? Anyone know? Exactly. He's not fully human or fully God, because he's now a third entity altogether. He's a mixture of both human and divine. It's all a bit of a mix. So he's not either God or human. He's now a third kind of thing. Nature, which is a mixture of divine and human. Everyone with me? Jolly good. Here we go. It's not like those two. They're all wrong. What do you need? You need the person of Jesus Christ. You need the human nature. No, divine nature. Let's start with divine nature. You have the divine nature. Everyone's watching. It's just olive oil. Going in. I bought it specially, so it's not the home oil that we use. Okay, so here's the divine nature. And what happened is here's Jesus the person, divine nature. And at his point, or the incarnation, the point where he takes on, becomes human, he takes on the human nature. So the divine person takes on a human nature, and in taking on the human nature, he takes on a human body. And what we begin to see now, isn't it? Here's the one person, Jesus, two natures that are distinct and different. Do you see the human nature here, distinct, divine nature here also distinct. That's what's happening in the person of Jesus. He's one person, two natures, each distinct. Make sense? Everyone there? I've now got oil all over my hands. Now, we need to keep that in mind. Lovely. We need to keep that in mind because this is what's happening. Okay? Now, this is important. It's not a mixture. It's not two persons. He's not kind of, just have an outer body but nothing inside, which is just divine. He's fully human and he's fully divine. They're distinct, but they're in the one person of Jesus. Now, with that said, now we can get... Not good for your iPad. How does this work out? How is it possible then these things function together? How do these two natures work together? Well, the first thing we have to say as we think about this is, look, nothing is impossible for God. Okay? Nothing is impossible for him. He created the earth. He created human beings. So for him to come and take our human nature alongside his divine nature is not that hard for him, even if we can't grasp how it works. Now, how he did it is important. Jesus was born of a virgin. Thank you. Jesus was born of a virgin. He didn't have a human dad. Mary was not married at the point Jesus was born. And the virgin birth made possible the bringing together of Jesus' God nature and his human nature in one person. That was the means that God used to send his son into the world as a man. Now just think for a moment of how else God might have sent Jesus to earth. And you begin to see that none of them clearly bring together Jesus' God nature and his human nature. See, it probably would have been possible for God to create Jesus as a complete human being in heaven and send him to descend from heaven to earth without any human parents. But then we would have found it hard to see, well, how's Jesus fully human like us? How does he descend from Adam like us? And we'd have wondered, well, is he really human? Is he really like us? On the other hand, you see, it would have been possible for God to have Jesus come into the world with two human parents, be a mum and a dad, and with his full God nature, miraculously then united, given to his human nature at some point in his life. But then we would have found it hard to see, well, how is Jesus fully God? Because he was born just like us, and there would have been no difference. And so we would have wondered, is he really God? And so God, in his wisdom, decided that a combination of both human and God influence in the birth of Jesus was needed. So that we would see he was fully human, for he was born from a human mum, just like us. But we'd also see he was fully God, because he didn't have a human dad, but God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, brought about life in the womb of Mary. Now that's how it's possible that Jesus is both God and man, but in one person. It's a miraculous act of God that only God could bring about, that would mean Jesus was one person, but two natures, fully God and fully man. But how does that then work out? How does Jesus live as one who is God and man? How does it actually be possible for him to live in that way? We can see how God brought it about. We can see the truth. But how does it work out? Well, this is one of the things that we need to also keep in mind. For one nature does some things that the other nature does not do. Make sense? The one nature, the human, for example, does things that the other nature, the divine, does not do, but Jesus is always doing it as one person, Jesus Christ. He's the who. Let me show you how it works out. So, for example, say you're reading the Bible, And you might ask, or someone might ask, you know, look, how is Jesus both in heaven, he's got a body like him, and everywhere at the same time? How's that possible? If Jesus is fully human like us, you can't be everywhere at the same time if you're human. And the answer is this. We talk about the who. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the person of Jesus Christ. And the person of Jesus Christ is both in heaven and everywhere. How? Because when we're talking about Jesus' human nature, we can say that he ascended to heaven and is no longer in the world. But with respect to his divine nature, we can say that Jesus is present everywhere. He's omnipresent. Similarly, you could say about Jesus was about 30 years old, if you're speaking of his human nature, but we can say he eternally existed if we're speaking of his divine nature, but he's always the person Jesus. So people ask, well, can God be tired? I mean, Jesus was tired. How can God be tired? Well, what do we say? The person, Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was tired. How? In his human nature, Jesus was weak and tired. But in his divine nature, he was omnipotent, all-powerful, never tiring. But the person, Jesus, experienced tiredness. How? In his human nature. Can God die? People ask. How can God die on the cross? And the answer? The person, Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the second person of the Trinity, the maker of all of creation, the person Jesus died. How? In his human nature, he died. In his divine nature, he did not. It's impossible for God to die. But because he is one person, Jesus, the Son of God, experienced death fully. Jesus went through the experience of death as a whole person, and both his human and God nature shared in that. But only the human nature died. So you need to keep in mind, although there's one nature, they might do a number of things, the other does not. Sorry, I forgot to put those on for those. Give the children a chance. There's the tired one. Give you a little mental break just to work that out. Could have just flicked them on, then I wouldn't have to give out any prizes and kept them for myself. And here's the dyed one. Are we there? Good, good. So, anything either nature does, the person of Christ does. One nature may do things that the other nature does not do, but anything either nature, divine or human, does, the person of Christ does. So anything that is true of the human or divine nature is true of the person of Christ. So when Jesus says, for example, in John 8:58 to the Pharisees, before Abraham was, I am. He didn't say, before Abraham was, my divine nature existed, true, but not my human nature. But because he's free to talk about anything done by his divine nature or human nature alone, as something he did, the person, Jesus, the Son of God, he can say, before Abraham was, I am. Just as when I typed my notes up, I didn't say my fingers typed and my toes didn't, true. I'd be quite skillful if I could. Rather, I say, I typed. Me, the person, Mark Ventham. Because anything done by one part of me is done by me. Which is why when we come to Jesus, yes, one nature might do something that the other did not do. His human nature died, his divine did not. But because Jesus is one person, see why it's important to be clear, we can speak of Jesus, the Son of God, dying. One person, two natures. Now, of course, we might not be able to understand all of that. It's a work of God, it's miraculous, but we need to. We need to hold on to it as truth. because the Bible teaches it. And we need Jesus to be both fully God and fully man, but one person, in order to save us. I mean, if Jesus is not fully God, he could not save us and bring us back into friendship with God. If Jesus was just a man, his death would mean nothing. He could not have taken the full anger of God for all our sins. As a man, he could not have bore that. And as a man, his life would only count for one life. He couldn't have taken the place of many lives. Only as God can he do that. Only his infinite blood can count for infinite lives. So he could bear the punishment for many. As God, his life could take the place of many lives. If Jesus was not God, he couldn't have raised himself from the dead. He would not have been able to have life. If Jesus was not God, then God the Father placed an innocent man in the place of many. He sent his innocent human son as just a sacrifice. But because Jesus was God, he was part of the plan. He willingly went. He wasn't just an obedient son. He was part of God's plan as one who was fully God. For salvation is from the Lord. But if Jesus was just God and he was not fully man, well, then he couldn't have represented us. He couldn't have taken our place, because only a human can take the place of a human. Jesus was our representative and he obeyed for us where Adam had failed and disobeyed. He lived as we should have lived. He did what we should have done. He never disobeyed. He was sinless and perfect, which meant, amongst many things, that he then gives us that obedience when we trust in him, as he takes my disobedience. But it means he could be my substitute, because he had no sin. He did not need to be punished. He was perfect. And if he was not fully man, he could not be our substitute. See, what does a substitute do? Well, in football, the substitute comes on for an injured player or a tired player. Imagine if the manager sent, you know, took Rooney off last night and instead sent on a goat. Everyone would go, good choice. No, everyone would go, no, it doesn't work. You can't put on a goat for the man. You need another player. You need one like Rooney. You need a substitute, another man to take his place. And it's the same on the cross. Only one like us can be our substitute, can take our place. Even God himself could not take our place because he's not like us. Only one like us, only a human can take the place of a human to be our substitute, to take our punishment for our sin, our rebellion against God. We need him to be both fully God and fully man in order to save us. See what a wonderful Saviour we have. See what a wonderful truth the incarnation of Jesus, Jesus coming down to earth to be fully God and fully man is, in order that we can be saved. And because he is fully man, he's also an example to us. We learn in 1 Peter, he shows us what it's like to live under God as we ought to, as one who is perfect and one to follow. And because he is fully God, he can stand between us and God as one like us, but also like God. He's the perfect bridge, as it were, between us and God. We need Jesus to be fully man and fully God. Do you see what a glorious Saviour we have? There is none like him. No other world religion claims that their founder, their leader is God. They claim that they're prophets, they claim that their leaders spoke with God, knew God, had visions from God, but none of them claimed to actually be God. And Jesus says, I am God, I am fully human, I am one person, and I came in order to die to save. What a Saviour. Why don't we pray and give thanks to such a one? Father, we thank you for sending Jesus.
Thank you that he is both fully God and fully man. And thank you that because he is, he can die for us. He can take our place. He can restore us to relationship with you once more. Father, we thank you that because he is fully man, he knows our weaknesses. He understands what it is to be persecuted. And so, Father, we pray for those around the world who are suffering because they follow Jesus. And we would ask that they would know that their Savior, King Jesus, understands and knows what they're going through, because he went through the same. And as such, that he would strengthen them with all that they need, because he knows exactly what they need. Father, we pray for those who are grieving. We pray that they might know that Jesus knows what it is to have someone you love die. He knows their pain and their sadness. And as such, he can provide the exact comfort that they need. Father, we pray for those who are sick and unwell. We would ask that they would know that Jesus knows what it is to have a body that hurts, a body that is in pain, a body that is weak and frail, and as such, he can heal and he can strengthen according to their precise needs and his great plan. Father, we thank you for such a Savior, for such a representative and substitute. Thank you that Jesus is one person, fully God and fully man. Amen.